Welcome to the Community Action League. The Community Action League is a weekly show that is a collaborative effort of local organizations and nonprofits. Our goal is to raise awareness of issues that impact people in Gallatin County, like consent, housing, transportation, human rights, and addiction. We will also discuss the organizations that listeners can engage with that are relevant to these topics. On our show, we discuss the intersectionality or connections between these topics at the local, national, and global levels. If you are interested, you can tune in to KGVM 95.9 Bozeman to learn more about issues impacting your community every Thursday at 7 p.m. Do you have a topic you would like to hear about or comments about our show? Contact us at communityactionleague@gmail.com to request a topic or share your thoughts. My name is Makili Shannon, and I'm an intern here at Bridger Care, and I'm here with the Community Action League today discussing voting coming up on November 6th. And I'm here with Amara from Ford, Montana, and Emily from Ford, Montana, and Bridger Care as well. And would you like to introduce yourself?
Sure, thank you. I'm Emily Allison. I grew up here in Bozeman. I work at Bridger Care as a development coordinator, and I'm also honored to be on the Ford, Montana Foundation board. I'm a new board member of theirs.
Hi, I'm Amara. I'm the field manager here at Ford Montana in our Bozeman office. I've been living in Bozeman for 5 years, and I'm really excited to be a part of the Community Action League.
So guys, what are we here to discuss today?
As most of you know, we have the midterm elections coming up on November 6th. If you are voting by absentee ballot, you should have received your ballot already. If not, it might be good to check on the Secretary of State My Voter page or call your local elections office if you haven't received it. If you are voting at the polls, you can show up at your polling location anytime from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. You just need to be in line by 8 p.m. To cast a ballot.
Another thing to add, so if you're planning on voting on November 6th, then yeah, it's 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. at your polling location. In Montana, we also have early voting. So if you want to avoid the lines or that day doesn't work with your schedule, you can go in to your local courthouse, whatever county you're in. You go to your county courthouse and you can vote there during their normal office hours. Generally, that's I believe 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. and it'll feel just like you're doing it on the day of. You walk into your private area and you fill out your ballot and submit it and you get an I voted sticker. You just don't do it on November 6th, and you can do that from today until the 6th.
Yeah, we also have same day voter registration in Montana, so if you aren't registered to vote right now, or you're registered to vote maybe at an old address, or you just currently moved, you are still able to register to vote all the way up until 8 p.m. on election day.
All right, so I think that voting is important, especially for the younger populations in Montana, because it's your chance to have a voice in who represents you at both a state and a national level, and they are deciding a lot of issues that will affect you, whether it's your income or your access to education, your ability to afford where you're living. There's just a lot that they're making decisions on that affect your daily life, and it's such an amazing opportunity to have say in how that looks for you and people you love in the future.
And Em, I just kind of want to ask you how you got involved with Ford Montana and kind of why this is such a, you know, such a big issue that you're passionate about, I guess.
That is a good question. So I knew that Ford Montana was looking for board members, and I threw my hat in the ring because of probably two reasons. One, I grew up in Bozeman and I love this place so much, and I really want it to have a bright future and one that is equitable for all people, new or old, to the valley, young or old in age, Just I want it to be a place that everyone has a chance at success. And then second, with the work I do at Bridger Care, I see a lot of people that are working so hard to make ends meet, and I wanted them to know that there is a way that their voice can be heard, and that it doesn't matter what your background is or how much money you have or where you live, that your voice matters so much in our democracy, and that's the beauty of it. And I really wanted to get young people more involved in the political scene.
Whoa, I couldn't have put it better myself. And I think that that's a great reason for young people to vote. And I think to get out there and to get to the polls, but just for everyone in general as well. And Amara, I really haven't heard much of your story about, you know, kind of what brought you to Ford, Montana, or kind of what kind of issues you kind of wanted to address here in Bozeman. Could you tell me a little bit more about that?
Yeah, definitely. So I got involved with Ford, Montana as an intern when I was 18, 19 during the 2016 election. And from there, I did just about every role that one person could have at Ford, Montana. And I wasn't politically active before I first got involved with Ford, Montana. I felt really insulated from politics. I felt like my politicians really didn't represent me. But here in Montana, we have a really unique opportunity. Because we're a smaller state with less population, you really can get face-to-face with your local candidates a lot of the time. And they feel a lot more accessible and a lot more personable here in Montana, so I thought that was really exciting. Now that I'm a little more into the political world and I can see what's going on, I see these levies and these local ballot initiatives that affect young people every day. Things like our tuition and where we're able to live and the schools that we're able to go to and the jobs that we're able to have are on our ballots. But a lot of young people just don't have the information that they need to cast a ballot. And a lot of people feel really disenfranchised and disengaged because a lot of the language surrounding elections and ballot initiatives, it's not made to be understood by young people. So that work is really important to me, is kind of meeting young people where they're at, giving them a voice and showing them that elections don't have to be this really confusing, disenfranchising thing, and that their voice matters.
And I guess the question I have that I kind of get from a lot of people that I know is my age, so I'm 21, and they're always like, well, I just like really don't know about that issue, or like I just really don't understand like how these issues work, and I always, you know, that kind of disheartens me that they don't want to vote for those reasons or they don't want to get involved. And I think that they don't realize how much of an impact that has on them at a local level. So can you kind of describe to me like how like our local government kind of affects us?
Yeah, so your local government is probably the thing that affects you most day to day that you don't even realize. Your commissioners set the budget for your local communities. They decide what kinds of affordable transportation options we have here in Bozeman, like the Streamline. They're able to affect tuition costs and prices, and help set the agenda for MSU. So although a lot of these local offices are really complicated, and there's not a lot of doors for young people to get involved, they are definitely the offices that are affecting us day to day and that are making those decisions on the things that most greatly affect young people.
So, to follow up with what Amara said, I think that what you're talking about, and a lot of people feel this way towards different things in their lives, but especially young people with voting, is almost like this imposter syndrome. Like, they don't have the education, they don't know how to do it, no one's ever showed them. And that kind of imposter syndrome can really take hold with young people and women. And I think just debunking that myth that like, older people really know what's going on any more than you do is totally, most people, especially at the local level, they don't really know what the issues are or how to vote, and everyone's just doing their best to find that information. So don't feel like you're wildly undereducated compared to everyone else. Everyone's kind of in it together, just trying to piece everything together. And that's where I do think Ford Montana can be a great resource. You can text them, you can call, you can look online, and they have resources and they're happy to answer any questions, whether it's where is my polling location, to I heard about this certain initiative and I'm just confused about what it means, or if you have your ballot right in front of you and it's just worded in a way that doesn't make sense to you. But I will say that there have been people that study groups of people and who has influence in elections and that kind of thing. And in Montana, being such a small population in a rural state, if campus and millennials turn out the vote, we will completely change, like our priorities as a group will be represented wholly. Like millennials and campus students have the ability to shift the whatever direction that we're going, and it's really so, should be so empowering. And so if you have friends, get them to vote, because their voice truly will be heard, and our collective has the that potential right now to shift and move the state in whatever way and direction they want.
And I kind of just have a question, because I think a lot of young people, you know, they think that their vote doesn't count. They think that one vote won't count, or that as a mass that they don't count, or that, you know, I think a lot of times they even, you know, complain. Like, I've heard a lot of complaints of like, well, I just don't want to register to vote. But then after elections and stuff, you know, people complain about the issues that are plaguing them. And do you guys believe that voting in these elections can kind of change these things that are affecting people?
Yeah, for sure. And to echo what Emily said, if all young people voted, we would see our values being reflected in political offices across the state, especially here in Montana. Some of our elections are decided by just a handful of votes, so young people really have a really great opportunity to make their voices heard in elections specifically here in Montana.
Yeah, and I don't know the exact stats, but I know that the last midterm elections were decided by, I think, just a couple thousand votes, at least in the Senate race. So it really is, that can make, out of a million votes, it comes down to just a couple thousand. That is just a fraction of the students at Montana State University in Bozeman, much less the campuses across the entire state. So it really does come down to individuals deciding to register and go to the polls in the weeks before and the day of.
And I'm just kind of wondering what candidates are running, or, you know, how this whole process will work kind of going forward, and who we're going to see in these upcoming races or on our ballots. Do either of you guys have any information on that?
Yeah, I have a lot of information on that. So we'll be electing a senator here in Montana. There are three people running. John Tester is a Democrat, Rick Breckenridge is a Libertarian candidate, and Matt Rosendale is a Republican candidate. We will also be electing a U.S. Congressperson. Kathleen Williams is the Democrat, Eleanor Swanson is a Libertarian, and Greg Gianforte is the Republican that's running. And then we'll be voting on a handful of ballot measures, and every person's ballot, depending on where you live in Montana, might look a little bit different with the local races that you're voting on.
And so can you kind of break down for me, so when you say, you know, we have a senator and then we have a U.S. congressperson, like what kind of things do those people have influence over here in Montana?
So our U.S. senator represents Montanans at the federal level. They vote on laws and budgets, they confirm judicial and cabinet nominees, and they also have the ability to ratify treaties. Our U.S. congressperson also represents Montanans at the federal level, and they vote on laws and budgets. And our levies are things that allocate money, that put legislation into place, that affect our communities, tuition.
Some things that you might have heard about recently that these senators and representatives are weighing in on behalf of you, since there are Montana senators and representatives, is any debate around public lands, any debate around health care, taxes being raised or lowered. So those are things that could affect anyone in Montana, and things that we've probably heard about in the news. That's what they're doing.
So Amara and Emily, I know that there's four levies that are going to be passed on November 6th. And I was just kind of wondering what a yes or a no would mean on all of those levies and kind of the different language that these levies use to kind of confirm or deny, like, whether they're going to be passed.
Yeah, definitely. And the ballot measures, the language on the ballot that you'll read when you get your ballot in the mail or you're in the polling booth can be really, really confusing. So we'll just try to go over them and make them as clear as we can. The first ballot measure is I-185. It is called the Healthy Montana Initiative. It would raise taxes on all tobacco products, including e-cigs and vaping products, to provide revenue for health-centered programs like Medicaid, veteran services, smoking prevention, and long-term care services for seniors and people with disabilities. It would extend Medicaid expansion past its June 2019 expiration date. It also raises taxes by $2 per pack of cigarettes and 33% on other tobacco products. A vote yes on I-185 means healthcare programs that help those most in need will be funded, and Medicaid expansion will be extended despite a decrease in federal funding. A vote no on I-185 would mean tobacco taxes will remain the same and revenue will not be available for the programs above. Some individuals on Medicaid expansion will lose coverage. The groups that advocate for a vote yes on I-185 include the Montana Medical Association, the Montana Budget and Policy Center, and Planned Parenthood of Montana. Some groups who advocate no for a vote on I-185 include Montanans Against Higher Taxes and Senator Lou Jones.
So I-185, I think what is helpful to know is that it covers 100,000 Montanans. So that's 10% of our population. And without Medicaid, they would not have insurance. And 50% of those Montanans are children. So that's just something to take note of. About who this would benefit if you voted yes. So that is why a lot of people are in favor of passing 185. One reason why people are against passing 185 is it's what's known as a regressive tax. And so that means that people who earn less money are paying disproportionately more than people that earn more. So for example, if I make $10,000 and every tobacco product is taxed $2 and I spend $1,000 a year in addition to what I normally would spend, that would be 10% of my income. However, if I make $1 million a year, it's gonna be less than 1%. So it falls harder on lower income people.
So the next levy that you'll see on your ballot is I-186, and this is a requirement for new hard rock mines. This levy would require new hard rock mines to have sufficient reclamation plans to avoid the need for perpetual treatment of water polluted by acid mine drainage or other contaminants. It would require the Department of Environmental Quality to deny permits for new hard rock mines that do not comply. It could result in an increase in staffing costs for environmental review for permit applications and potential litigation. A vote yes on I-186 would mean that mines would be held to higher public health and environmental standards. A vote yes would also cost Montana less than $200,000 per year, and environmental cleanup costs would decrease significantly. A vote no on I-186 would mean that mines will take less responsibility for environmental damage, resulting perhaps in public health hazards and taxpayer costs for cleanup. The groups who are interested in a vote yes on I-186 include the Montana Environmental Information Center, Montana Trout Unlimited, and Montperk. Groups who are interested in a vote no on I-186 include the Lincoln County Commission.
And so the reason this is coming up and that there is a push to pass legislation in this regard is because there have been a lot of mining companies that have come in and mined in the state, and then they leave or they go bankrupt and they leave the state with a whole lot of environmental mess to clean up, and that's expensive for the state, it's expensive for taxpayers. So the goal of this initiative is to hold those companies accountable when they come in so that it protects the mining industry and the environment. This wouldn't affect any current mines, and this was modeled after legislation that has happened in Nevada, and they have not seen a decrease in mining jobs. So there's been a good amount of research going into this, but since it's something that's never happened in the state of Montana before, there are a lot of unknowns, which is what makes some people feel uncomfortable with the idea of regulating the mining industry.
So the next levy on the ballot is LR-128, and this is a 6 mil levy. If you've heard about a levy on the ballot, this is probably the one that you've heard of. The 6 mil levy has been around since the 1940s. It is a continued property tax levied on real estate and personal property. It has received voter support every decade since it gets revoted and reinstituted every 10 years. The levy provides support, maintenance, and improvement of Montana's universities and colleges. The revenue from the 6 mil levy goes directly to Montana's public colleges and universities through the Board of Regents here in Montana. An important flag on the 6 mil levy is this is not an increase in tax. This is a current tax. It is just a renewal here in November that we'll be voting on. A vote yes for the 6 mil levy would mean that we would continue to keep tuition for Montana's public colleges and universities more affordable and accessible to more students seeking higher education. A vote no means that Montana public colleges and universities would lose up to $20 million of funding each year, which could result in tuition increases of 17 to 18% to make up for lost revenue. Groups that support the 6 mil levy include the Montana Chamber of Commerce, the Montana Federation of Public Employees, and the Montana Associated Students. A group that does not support the 6 mil levy is the Montanans Against Higher Taxes. The last levy on the ballot is LR-129, and this is an anti-ballot collection measure. An important flag with this ballot measure is that the difference between the first three levies that we talked about in LR-129 is that it seeks to prohibit an action instead of enacting legislation. So just be careful when you're reading through that ballot measure. LR-129 prohibits a person from collecting and delivering another person's ballot to assist them in voting. Exceptions being election officials, postal workers, and people with personal relationships with the voter. Violators would face $500 fines per ballot for knowingly collecting six or more ballots. Here at Forward Montana, we actually do a fair bit of ballot collection. We collect absentee ballots from students, young people, people who work really demanding jobs, people who can't just get into their elections office as easily as others, or who maybe don't have stamps to collect a ballot. So LR-129 really put some burdens in place for groups like ours to collect people's ballots who might just need a little bit more help getting to the polls. A vote on LR-129 means that people allowed to collect another voter's ballot would need to provide extensive information about themselves and the voter when delivering the ballot. Violators could be fined for each illegally collected ballot. A vote no on LR-129 means that organizations and volunteers could continue to assist voters who need help turning in their ballot due to maybe a different ability or lack of transportation or no stamps. So those groups could continue dropping off their ballots for people who need help. Senator Al Olszewski is interested in a yes vote on LR-129. Groups who say no on LR-129 include the ACLU of Montana and the Montana Human Rights Network.
A lot of people in Montana get an absentee ballot, which means that you're voting by mail. Your ballot is mailed to your home. And in that case, there's just a couple things to take note of. There is a secrecy sleeve that you need to put your ballot into, and you have to sign that. And if you don't sign it, then they can't count it. So that's one really important piece to not overlook. Second to that is if you're going to, you have the choice of either actually mailing it or dropping it off at the county courthouse in person. If you're gonna mail it, you need to look at the instructions and see how much it costs to mail your ballot. They range from one stamp to two stamps, and so if you don't put enough postage on it, then it won't reach where it needs to go and it'll probably be returned to you. I actually have no idea what happens to those ballots. So don't risk it. You want your vote to count, so make sure to attach enough postage And the safe bet, if you can't figure out what that is, would be to put two stamps on. So we wanted to start by talking about kind of the overall structure of both our national and state government so that it's a little more clear who you're voting for in these midterm elections. So at a national level, we have, as a country, a Congress that makes laws and passes budgets and a whole plethora of things like that. That's based in Washington, D.C. There are 100 senators that come from 50 states, and there are 435 representatives in the House of Representatives that different states get different amounts based on their population. So with the senators, every state gets an equal 2 senators. With the House, it depends on population. So for Montana, we have 2 senators and 1 representative. And so one of those senators is up for election. That spot is up for election. And then our House of Representatives, we have that one spot is also up for election in this midterm race. At the state level, we have a state Congress, and they only meet every 2 years in Helena for 90 days. So we have 50 senators and we have 100 representatives. And again, that's based on different districts and population across the state, but they come together once every 2 years to pass laws and look at budgets for how the state functions.
Yeah, and what's really interesting about our legislator is because they meet so rarely and they only meet for a few months when they do meet, is that they come back home and they live in your communities and their children go to your public schools. And so it's really unique here in Montana that our local legislators are so accessible to us because they are just members of our community. They're not full-time politicians. So at Forward Montana, we have 4 major buckets of work. They're voter registration, voter mobilization, leadership development, and issue advocacy. As far as it goes for voter registration, over the past election cycle, we've registered over 7,000 new young voters across the state, a lot of these being students. A lot of these people haven't even voted, and this will be their first election, so that's really exciting. But then moving into voter mobilization, now we're in a season called Get Out the Vote, where we make sure all the people that we've registered, and even the people that we haven't, have a plan to cast a ballot in the upcoming November midterm. Another big bucket of our work is leadership development. We run a really robust internship program across the state where we graduate young people from this program every semester. They learn a variety of skills in community organizing, fundraising, volunteer recruitment. They work out in their communities, talking to young people. They gain a lot of personal and professional skills. And a lot of the people in our internship program, like me, go on to be part-time staff or full-time staff, which is really exciting. And then another big bucket of our work includes issue advocacy. We pick the issues that we work on based on what we know young people care about. So from talking to young people in the field and having thousands of conversations with young Montanans across the state, we've identified economic justice, the environment, and LGBTQ equality as the number one issues. We also work on conservation issues and election reform as well. So Forward Montana was started in 2004 by a group of young people in Missoula, Montana. This was a group of students that felt the electoral process was super confusing and it left them and their peers feeling really disengaged and disenfranchised. So from that group of students, they were able to identify the challenges, and they identified the challenges as being that ballots and elections are confusing and the long list of candidates and issues can be really scary for first-time voters. They also identified a challenge being that the voter registration process overwhelmingly excludes young people who move frequently and have yet to develop the habit of voting. Another challenge they identified was that politics often exclude young people because it can be seen as boring, unattractive, or not fun. So then from there, they were able to identify some solutions. The first one being that here at Forward Montana, we train young people from how to organize other young people to the importance of voting and how issues and candidates affect our lives. We also mobilize young people. The best way to talk to young people is with other young people, so we mobilize hundreds of volunteers throughout the state of Montana to talk to constituents about voting. We also educate young people. At Forward Montana, we use peer-to-peer contact and internship classes to teach the next generation of Montanans how to be leaders in their communities. and we also elect young people. We support progressive candidates and issues that will have a positive impact on the next generation of Montana. Some of our successes started in 2004 with our first voter guide that was created and distributed. In 2006, volunteers knocked over 1,000 doors for two young progressive candidates. In 2007, Forward Montana interns mobilized a letter to the editor and testimony campaign to help save Montana's Election Day registration law. In 2009, Forward Montana gathered over 5,000 comments in favor of healthcare reform. In 2010, Forward Montana collected over 1,700 equality cards in favor of an LGBTQI non-discrimination ordinance in Missoula. The Missoula City Council passes the ordinance by a 10-2 margin. In 2012, Forward Montana contacted 11,000 voters in the last weekend of the campaign to highlight Steve Bullock's support of a tuition freeze at Montana universities. In 2013, Forward Montana finally expanded to Bozeman, where members knocked doors to successfully elect a pro-LGBT mayoral candidate who introduced LGBT inclusive non-discrimination ordinance in spring of 2014. In 2014, we then went on to lead a coalition of organizations to successfully pass a fully LGBTQ inclusive non-discrimination ordinance protecting all people in Bozeman from discrimination based on sexual orientation and gender identity in the areas of employment, housing, and public accommodations. In 2015, Forward Montana made over 18,000 calls encouraging constituents to call their legislators in support of student debt reform, and Forward Montana organized a public art project and rally at MSU in support of the tuition freeze.
Okay, so I wanted a few more tips about voting in these midterm elections. So we've talked a lot about absentee ballots, which is when you get your ballot in the mail. Something that's important to know is that a lot of people around the state have recently received an application for absentee voting. And while you can fill that out and send it in, this midterm election, the absentee ballots have already been sent out. So if you're not currently signed up to be an absentee voter or to vote by mail, you can send that in, but it won't apply to this election. So it's still really important that you go in to your county courthouse and vote in the early voting, which is now until November 6th, or go to your polling location on November 6th from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. and vote there. You won't be able, if you haven't been signed up beforehand, you won't be able to receive your ballot in the mail this election.
But if you happen to go into your courthouse because you need to register to vote from now until the election, you can sign up for an absentee ballot and they'll just give you a ballot right then that you would be able to mail back in.
Another tip and benefit of voting early is that if you've noticed, there are a lot of people knocking doors and canvassing for different candidates. And the earlier that you can vote and get your ballot in to the appropriate places, you will likely go on a list where they're not going to come bother you anymore. So that's another benefit of getting your vote in early. And we really encourage people to do this because you never know what's gonna happen on November 6th, if you come down with a terrible flu, if you get in a little fender bender, if something comes up at work, and you don't really wanna hold out to the last minute and risk missing your opportunity to cast your voice in this election. So we really want to emphasize that early voting option for people. So I will share a little bit about what my experience has been with these midterm elections. I recently signed on to be a board member of Forward Montana Foundation. So that is the 501c3 that is really advocates for registering people to vote and getting out the vote in advance of state and national elections. I have also had the privilege this year for the first time, my dad and I actually went and knocked doors for different candidates, and that was a really cool experience.
just to go to these different neighborhoods around Bozeman and talk, start engaging people. And what I learned a lot in that process, I think that what really struck my dad and I was that people just want to be heard. And they some of the time people had questions. Other times they were really proud of the way they were voting and they wanted to share that. And it can be a really private thing, but it can also be something that you share with friends and you can build a community, I think, around voting and around being civically engaged. And that was something that that I was really touched by. And I heard from people from all over the political spectrum and in the middle and bouncing all over the place. And no matter what, when you're face to face with these people, there's just a new level of, I think, understanding and humanity that really shines through. And even if you don't agree on anything, I think that it really builds compassion. And what I'm at least feeling and seeing in our country right now is some intense divisiveness and polarization of views. And I think that if you're looking to reinvigorate just like how you're feeling about our country, I just encourage you to talk to your neighbors.
Emily and I have both been involved with A Seat at the Table this month, and I think that this is something that's really touched me personally, that has kind of, what she was talking about earlier, kind of bringing that perspective piece into trying to understand other people's viewpoints and really trying to have discussions where you're not disagreeing, but you're trying to have compassion and trying to see where they're coming from and not necessarily come to an agreement or a solution, but really just trying to broaden your mind a little bit. And I think that that's a great point that she brought up with that story. And I think that it was a great experience to have a seat at the table where you come together over a common goal, which is, I think, a lot of what, you know, I think most of us here, you know, in our county, like, we really want the same things, but how we want to get there, you know, are kind of drastically different. And so it's good to see those different perspectives and kind of troubleshoot with each other and just have kindness while doing that.
And so A Seat at the Table is a community-wide in Gallatin Valley initiative that is being hosted by the Bozeman Area Community Foundation in partnership with a couple other groups. And they are trying to encourage people to get together with friends, coworkers, whoever, and discuss it, what we love about our community and also the biggest issues that individuals or certain groups are facing, so that we can prioritize and move forward and build a healthy, thriving community in the most efficient and pointed ways possible. The research from these conversations will be collected, and then there will be a report that comes out later in the year, which is really exciting.
And you get to. So at Forward Montana, a really big component of our work is voter registration, which is really exciting and one of my favorite things that we do, because it means that we get to get out in the community and talk to other young people and old people and everyone in between. Although we spend a lot of time on campus, a lot of our voter registration events out in the broader community really get us face to face with groups of people and individuals that we don't see all the time. So over the past year, we've registered so many first-time voters. Just a few weeks ago, we held a Pinky and the Floyd concert, and we registered a 51-year-old man that had never voted in an election before, and he was so excited to cast his ballot in the upcoming midterms. We also partnered with the HRDC here in Bozeman and in Livingston, and we were able to register voters both at the food bank and the warming center, which was a really incredible experience because we know that sometimes information surrounding voter registration can be really confusing, and lots of people don't know some simple basics, like if you don't have a home, you can still register to vote, or if you are a felon, you can register to vote as long as you're not currently doing time. If you're a student that lives in a dorm, you can register to vote. So something that's been really impactful for me is getting out in the community, meeting people where they're at and talking them through these things that they maybe didn't understand or didn't have the tools to understand before, and then they can register to vote. And that can be a really empowering experience for people who have felt like their voices have been silent.
So I just want to thank you, Em, and thank you, Amara, for both taking some time out of your guys' very busy days to come and talk about this very important issue to all of us and to just try to get more people involved in this whole process and to kind of give some stories and some, you know, facts about the whole voting process. So thank you guys so much.
Thank you for having me. This was wonderful.
Thank you for having me as well. Also, if you have any questions about voting, where your polling location is, if you're registered to vote, if you're getting an absentee ballot, when you can vote at the polls, what you need to bring to vote at the polls, if you need a ride to the polls, if you don't have a plan to vote, please call 406-542-VOTE and we can help talk you through that process.